Today, Sayaraji was explaining the meaning of Satipatthana from both theoretical and practical aspects. It was to be explained at the beginning of the retreat, but yogis have heard about it over and over again, and there are many of those who have practiced before. So Sayaraji explained just ordinarily at the beginning of the practice. But Sayaraji heard that some of the yogis, they have some uncertainty, they have some doubt, so that Sayaraji wanted them to be on the straight path of Satipatthana practice. That's why Sayaraji explained the meaning of Satipatthana according to the teaching of the Buddha, according to the commentaries and sub-commentaries, and also under the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Sayaraji. And Sayaraji will finish today. So Sayaraji says, whatever work that one is doing, one needs definite principles, the principles that are most effective, efficient, and correct. If someone is following wrong principle, then the person cannot correct it all of his or her life. He, she will be walking this wrong path all the way in his or her life. That's why one needs most effective, efficient, correct principles to work. Also, in Satipatthana meditation, one needs correct principles to practice Satipatthana meditation so that the practice will be most efficient, effective, and correct. In the text, in the Buddhist teachings, they are called four kinds of Mahabodhisa, four kinds of principles, guidance, or direction. And one has to work according to these principles or direction. The first one is sutta. Sutta. Sutta means the teaching of the Buddha. Sutta is compared to a line. One should be working according to the line. And these teaching of the Buddha are called sutta, and it is compared to the line that one should follow. The second one is Sutta Nuloma. Other texts, commentaries or sub-commentaries which are in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, they are Sutta Nuloma. They are in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha. They are in accordance of the teaching of the Buddha called Sutta. That's why they are called Sutta Nuloma. So when one is working, practicing, it is very important that it should be according to the first one, Sutta, and Sutta Nuloma. The third one is Acariya Vada. The guidance and instruction handed down by teachers. So if the ideas and guidance handed down by teachers are in accordance with Sutta, the teaching of the Buddha, and Sutta Nuloma, other texts which are also in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, then it is good to follow. The fourth one is autonomy, one's own ideas. Among these four, the fourth one, autonomy, it is the lowest and it is the weakest. So when one is working, it is more important that one follows the first two, Sutta and Sutta Nuloma. And if one is following Acariyavada, the guidance of the teacher, it is important that this Acariyavada will be in accordance with the first two. If one is working autonomy, if one is working according to one's own idea, then one must be careful. Some people, they practice just a little bit of this and little bit of that. Based on their little bit of practice and little bit of their knowledge, they are thinking that their ideas are right. In fact, they can be very wrong. So in the world, methods of Satipatthana practice are spreading. There are many kinds of teachers guiding and instructing Satipatthana practice. Some of the meditation teachers, they themselves practice under various kinds of teachers. A little bit of this teaching, a little bit of that teaching. They will take notes when practicing a little bit of this method, a little bit of that method. And after that, they teach according to what they have taken in their notebooks when they were practicing with various teachers, a little bit of that method, a little bit of this method. So these meditation teachers, they are like notebook meditation teachers. They are teaching according to the notebooks which they have gained, which they have noted when they were practicing with many different teachers. So it is very important to be practicing according to the first two, Sutta and Sutta Nuloma. But if the person is practicing according to what he she thinks is right, then they must be very careful about it. So nowadays there are many methods of practicing Satipatthana. Saraji says they are potpourri kind of practice. Just like when you have in a pot a little bit of this, a little bit of that, so many ingredients in the pot. In the same way, nowadays, people are teaching potpourri Satipatthana practice, putting in many ingredients in the instructions. So Saraji says, if a pot has all the flavors that are good, it is okay. But if the teachings that the people are following are potpourri with little bit of this, little bit of that, with many ingredients of different teachings, then it will not be good. And Saraji will not allow this to happen to the yogis who are here. Saraji will not just be watching these yogis follow the wrong path. Saraji has responsibility to put them into the right path so that they will be following Sutta and Sutta Nuloma. With the aim and objective to gain The benefits of Satipatthana practice. One should practice having Saddha, faith and confidence, and Chanda, strong will. And one should also seek the help of Kalyana Mitta, a true, genuine friend, in the practice of Satipatthana meditation. There are seven factors how one should choose a Kalyana Mitta, and Saroji will explain next day. But today, Saroji will finish off what he has been explaining for the past 2 days on the meaning of Satipatthana. The meaning of Satipatthana is that close, firm, sustained, established mindfulness on the object. It is called Satipatthana. It was not ordinarily used as sati, but patthana was used, and it was mentioned as Satipatthana. So in the term Satipatthana, pa is used in addition, and if there is one word that is extra, it means that there is extra meaning to it. So Saroji explains, Saroji will explain what is in the theory and what is in the practice. So it is Saroji's duty, the duty of a meditation teacher, to explain from both theory and practice. And Saroji will finish off with this definition of Satipatthana. The commentator explained the word patthana as patthatiti, upatthati. Upatthati means closely established, so that it is very continuous, sustained, and persistent. So the mindfulness is closely established, continuous, sustained, and persistent on the object that is presently arising, and it is called Satipatthana. When it is said that the noting mind closely established on the object, it has to be closely established in the way that the mind, the noting mind, sinks into the object. If it is just close to the object, it can fall away. So it should closely established on the object, as if the mind pierces or sinks into the object. Only then it will be sustained and persistent. And also, the noting mind, mindfulness should be firmly established, sustained, persistent, and continuous. So it is said, Agandhidva Bhavatati. The mindfulness should pierce into the object, and mindfulness should be continuous. Whatever object that arises, mindfulness should be continuous. It should sink into the object. Saroji gave an example. If a piece of cork is thrown into the water, it will not sink, but it will be floating on the surface. But if a stone is thrown, due to the weight of the stone, it will sink into the water. In the same way, when the person is noting the object, mindfulness should sink into the object. And thus there will be batana. The mind will be closely established on the object, the mind sinking into the object, and it is characteristic of mindfulness. The characteristic of mindfulness is abhilapana lekhana. Mindfulness has the characteristics of not floating on the object. So to say it directly, it should sink into the object. And also, the noting mind should be face to face or direct with the object, and it should sink into the object. In order that the noting mind should be face to face with the object, one needs to aim and direct the mind towards the object, and one should put effort. Having these two factors, aiming and effort, the noting mind will sink into the object. So it will be akkante dwapavatati, the mindfulness sinking into the object, closely, firmly established, continuous and persistent on the object. Sati, mindfulness, should not be ordinary quality, but sati, mindfulness, should be exceptionally high in quality. It should not be just ordinary kind of sati. In order that the mindfulness should be extremely high quality, exceptionally high quality, it depends on the speed of mindfulness. So in order that the mindfulness should be exceptionally high quality mindfulness, the speed of sati should not be slow. So the speed of mindfulness should not be slow. It should not be regular speed. So what kind of speed is needed in order that the mindfulness should be exceptionally high quality mindfulness? It is said that pakkhandetva pavatati, as soon as the object arises, mindfulness should rush into the object at high speed, so that the mindfulness will be exceptionally high quality mindfulness. Saraji thinks that yogis understand. Do you understand? Pakkhandana doesn't mean going with slow speed or regular speed or ordinary speed. It is mentioned as atti in order that the mindfulness should be extraordinary, intensive, and outstanding. The noting mind, mindfulness, should rush into the object, and one should note with aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object, putting effort in the practice so that the noting mind will hit the target of object, and the noting mind will be rubbing onto the object. Noting should be effective and efficient. So when noting the object, the mindfulness should not be in slow speed or regular speed, but it should be high speed. Mindfulness should go to the object, rush to the object with high speed. Saraji says, Saraji does not know much English, but pakkhandana or backhand D is explained in English as rushing. And when Saraji looked at the dictionary on the meaning of rushing, it says go or come with violent speed. So the mindfulness should rush into the object with high speed. If the mindfulness is being slow or at regular speed, this mindfulness will not be high quality mindfulness. So in order that the mindfulness should be exceptionally high quality mindfulness, one needs to note the object, mindfulness being rushed into the object at very high speed. And it is also explained as jumping into the water. So when the object arises, mindfulness should rush into the object as if jumping quickly into the water. And it is also explained as to act quickly without thoughts. When one has to do something very important, very urgent, one has to do it very quickly without thinking. So Saraji said, Satipatthana practice is not for thinkers. Only for those who have this determination to practice accurately, precisely according to the guidance given, such people deserve this Satipatthana practice. So Satipatthana practice is not for those who are thinking a lot. Yesterday, Saraji said, Takavatana, which means that the ones who are thinking a lot, senseless thinking, so it is very senseless and meaningless. They are wasting their time with thinking. Objects are arising fast. So when the yogi is thinking why and what and how, then they will be missing or losing to note the object that is arising fast. In that case, their mind is not piercing into the object, their mind is not concentrated on the object, and thus they will not know true nature of the object, and thus moha, delusion, will arise. Avijja, ignorance, will arise. The mind will be distracted. There will be scattering of the mind. Such people, they do not have moral shame and moral fear from missing or failing to note the object. And thus, at that moment, kilesa, defilements, arise. When noting the object, yogi should be mindful right away, immediately, on the object, without thinking, without imagining. So there is no time for thinking, just be mindful of the object immediately, right away. If the yogi is thinking, then the noting mind cannot keep pace with the object. So in order that the mindfulness should be extremely, exceptionally high quality mindfulness, one should note the object right away, immediately, without thinking. It is also defined as to capture by a sudden attack. So yogi should note in a way as if capturing the object by a sudden attack. So yogi should note the object immediately so that yogi could grab hold of the object so that the noting will be effective and efficient. Saraji gives an example. If two sides are fighting, then one should go into the opponent team and try to capture the leader. So in the olden days, when the leader is captured, one gains the victory. In the same way, when noting the object, one should rush the noting mind towards the object, just like to capture the object in a sudden attack. So if one is not mindful, the mind will not be unified, the mind will not be collected, and thus kilesa defilements will arise. Not to let the kilesa capture, not to let one's mind captivated by kilesa defilements, one should be mindful of the object right away so that one will be safe and secure under the protection of mindfulness. For the yogis, there is saying in Milinda Panya, for the yogis, it says that yogis should not have any compassion, any consideration for kilesa defilements. One should have consideration, compassion towards all creatures, all beings, even small insects. One should have compassion on them. But on kilesa defilements, which have been torturing the person all the time, one should not be lenient. One should not have compassion on these kilesa defilements. One should be relentless on these kilesa defilements. To put it in a rough way, one should be cruel to these kilesa defilements. So, in oneself, there are mentality and materiality arising continuously. So if one is not mindful, then these kilesa defilements, they will be conquering, and there will be kilesa bhumi. Kilesa bhumi means field of defilements or land of defilements. By noting, by being mindful continuously on the objects, there will be panya bhumi, or in another words, vipassana bhumi, the field of knowledge, field of insight, or the land of insight, or the land of knowledge. In the word kilesa bhumi, bhumi means the mentality and materiality that are arising. At the moment of their arising, if the person is not mindful, then one will not know it correctly, and thus various kinds of defilements can arise. So it will be the land of defilements, it will be the field of defilements. One should not have any compassion on these kilesa defilements. As soon as the object arises, one should note the object with aim and effort. If one fails to note the object, then knowledge will not gain upper hand. So, if one fails to note the object, if one is not mindful on the object, kilesa enemy will gain the upper hand. There will be distraction, scattering of the mind, lack of moral shame and moral fear, from failing to know the object. When the mind comes across desirable objects, there can be greed. When the mind comes across undesirable objects, there can be hatred, anger. There can also be other defilements such as conceit, envy, jealousy. In this way, kilesa defilements arise. When there is lack of mindfulness, when one does not discern the truth, then there will be the land of defilements, there will be the field of defilements, kilesa bhumi. So the mentality and materiality which the person failed to note, missed to note, will become kilesa bhumi, the field of defilements, the land of defilements. Failing to be mindful, the defilements weed will be growing. So Sayadawji says, if one is unmindful for 1 minute, there will be 60 groups of kilesa weeds growing. In 5 minutes, there will be 300 groups of weeds growing. In 1 hour, there will be 3,600 groups of weeds growing. So the mentality and materiality one will be getting, it will be useless. There will only be useless weeds of defilements growing if one is being unmindful. If one notes the object, when sati and samadhi, when mindfulness and concentration become strong, one will discern into mind and matter, cause and effect. So by discerning mind and matter, cause and effect distinctly, clearly, there will be panya, knowledge, or vipassana insight, and thus these mentality and materiality will become panya bhumi, field of knowledge, land of knowledge, or vipassana bhumi, field of insight or land of insight. So one should be noting on the object so that the mindfulness will cover and spread onto these objects. One should note in such a way that the mindfulness will keep hold of the object like in a sudden attack, so that one will be in the field of knowledge and kilesa defilement weeds cannot grow. The ones who do not understand the benefit of satipatthana practice, who do not value the satipatthana practice, they will be tormented by kilesa defilements. Being covered by kilesa defilements, their mind will not have chance to develop. Their mind cannot be strong and cannot be growing. So their vipassana sapling cannot grow, cannot be strong, cannot proliferate under the covering of these kilesa weeds. And thus, the vipassana sapling will become very weak. When the person comes across desirable objects, the person will be very quick to respond with greed. When one comes across undesirable objects, one will be very quick to respond with anger, hatred. In Anugahita Sutta, Samatha Anugahita, nurturing the vipassana sapling with concentration. That's why one needs to note the object with sustained mindfulness so that the mind will be calm, collected, unified on the object. When the mind is calm, collected, and unified on the object, kilesa wheat cannot grow. So when one is planting useful plants in a garden, one should prevent weeds and creepers from growing. And if the weeds and creepers are growing, one should remove them right away. In forestry, it is called as improvement felling. When there are unnecessary weeds and creepers, the plant will not get enough oxygen or water or soil, so that's why one needs to remove unwanted plants, unwanted weeds and creepers. If the plant is covered with weeds and creepers, the plant will become withered, it will become very weak. In the same way, one should prevent these kilesa, weeds and creepers, from growing. And if these kilesa, weeds and creepers grow, one should remove them right away. And in forestry, there is the term thinning. If one is planting precious plants, precious trees, and if the trees are growing very thickly, one should do thinning. If the trees are growing thickly, very close to each other, then they will not get enough soil, enough water, and thus none of these trees will grow well. Saraji gives an example. If many puppies are born to a mother dog, or if many piglets are born to the mother pig, because they all are taking the mother's milk, so the puppy or the piglet, which does not get enough mother's milk, will not grow properly. So the puppy or the piglet will be very weak and feeble. In the same way, when trees are growing very thickly, very closely to each other, they will not get enough soil or enough fertilizer or air or water. So that's why they should do thinning. So the trees should be like 6 feet apart or 9 feet apart from each other, so that they will get enough soil, enough water, and enough oxygen. In the same way, when practicing Satipatthana meditation, which is a very precious work, one should give priority to practicing Satipatthana meditation. When practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should put aside other things that are not important. When coming for practice, one should leave aside the family affairs, which are not as important as Satipatthana practice. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is not to be selfish, but during intensive practice, one should leave aside other affairs that are not important. If they are giving priority to other affairs which are not important, then they are losing time away from the practice. That's why during intensive retreat, one should put aside the other affairs that are not as important as Satipatthana practice. Yogis who are not continuous in mindfulness, yogis who are not mindful continuously, many defilements, weeds are growing in such yogis who are not mindful continuously, and thus their vipassana mind cannot develop, and they are going through the same thing over and over again, day by day. It's the same thing day by day without making progress. So yogis should try hard not to let this happen, and also in the next retreats as well, they should try hard not to let it happen. In order that one's mindfulness be exceptionally high quality mindfulness, one should regard that this Satipatthana practice is the most important, most precious work. So during the retreat, one should not give time for doing social affairs. So if they are doing social affairs, they are losing something that is very precious. Saraji says there is an example given in the text. The example is giving, one loses the X one owns in order to get a needle. So it means that when one loses one own X to get a needle, it means that one is losing something that has a higher value than something one is getting. So one should not be losing something precious to get something that does not have much value. So when practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should give priority to the practice so that it will not be like in the example, losing the X to gain the needle, losing something that is valuable to get something that is that has no value. So Saraji does not have time to explain Patraitva Pavadati. Saraji will continue the next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.